Wisconsin Horticulture Update for Friday, August 8th. Hard to believe it's August 8th, but welcome. We will go through our regular schedule of county roll call and county reports and specialist reports. And then we will talk about community gardens and the upcoming community garden roadshow that we're contemplating for spring of 2014. So welcome, everybody. Let's do a brief check-in to see who is here. Brian, of course, provides us with this lovely alphabetized list, and then we go through and by regions, which challenges my knowledge of Wisconsin counties. But let's start with the Northeast, because I heard DJ on, and I know somebody's here from that little area of the state. So who is around the Brown County Northeast area of Wisconsin?
Well, this is Jill out of Gamey.
Out of Gamey, thank you.
Scott's here from Marinette, Ocano, Florence, half the UP, wherever you want to call me today.
Oh, we're King Clay, Michigan, too. Excellent. Hi, Scott. And DJ, are you still on?
Yes, I am still here.
Hey, good. Glad we didn't lose you. Is there anybody else from that part of the world? How about the Northwest area? Okay, how about let's move down into more of the central area of the state.
Sophie from Portage.
Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning.
Is there anyone from the southern part of the state?
George Kep from Columbia. And send us some rain, please.
I would love to. I would like to send you the mosquitoes as well.
Chrissy from Walworth County is here.
Morning, Chrissy.
Hi, Christy and from Rock County.
Christy, good morning. All right, what about the southeast part of the state? Well, I'm here from Racine County, although I'm actually in Waukesha at the moment. Is anyone on from Milwaukee, Kenosha, Waukesha? Hey, how about Dane County? Other than, I know, Brian, you were on.
Chris,
Phil fighting out.
Well, thank you, Phil. Good morning. And who else chimed in?
Kristen.
Oh, good morning, Kristen. Long time no see.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and get started, and if people chime in, that's fabulous. County reports. I'm going to start because I know VJ has big news, and I want to beat him to the punch. We not only have EAB, of course, all over our county. We were already a quarantine county, but now we officially have late blight. Race US 23, according to my email from Amanda this morning. So as you can imagine, we're quite excited about that. We also have had numerous calls in the past week about various leaf spots and fungal diseases, and probably the biggest issue has been powdery mildew on the cucurbits. And with that, I will pass it off to anyone else in the southeast that would like to chime in.
Is there anyone other than me on?
No, that would be you.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that was my cue. I'm just really enjoying the early blight. Unfortunately, you know, I've been trying to get late blight, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. Sometimes I think it's just a matter of time. But we've got really great early blight going on in Waukesha County. Lots of septorial leaf spot. Lots of fun things for tomatoes to hang out with. I haven't been in the office a ton, but based on what's on my desk, we have a really great crop of scab going on, both in pear and apples. I've got some drought stress-related issue on oaks on my desk, and I have a lovely sample of dodder, which I was a little surprised to see. But that's what I know. Haven't been here much this week, but that's what I have.
Well, dodder's quite exciting. Was it in a container plant?
I don't think so, because it looks like it's in some kind of a weed that I have yet to identify. So
no.
I'm guessing it was in the garden, but
I had a sample come in, but it was like a hanging basket that had been purchased at a retail shop.
No, flower bed behind the house, top of a hill, mulched area. Oh, and it's flax that it's on. I don't know that I believe that. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Kristen. Let's move a little bit west. What's going on over in Walworth County?
Good morning. We have, and Phil, maybe you could correct me, I think we have a lot of lake flies. I think that's what they're called. There's swarms that kind of go everywhere, and those, you can see like clouds of haze in the sky from all these little flies that are in the air.
Yeah, that's a lake fly dating bar.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I've been noticing. They're covering my entire house right now. And just a lot, I mean, I know Emerald Ash Borer is here and stuff like that, but I am seeing a tremendous amount of ashes all over declining. So that's been kind of my observations besides some of the other common vegetable things. People are calling about the vine borer still, powdery mildew, of course, on some of those plants as well, and that's about it.
Thanks, Chrissy. How about a little further west into Rock County? We'll work our way around the state.
This is Chrissy. A lot of emerald ash borer, lots of ash trees declining around the area. And then I've been getting a lot of tree questions recently, and I think it just has to do with effects from the drought from last year. And then blight and tomato problems. But other than that, this weather has been great, so not too many problems.
Excellent, thank you. Can we move a little further west or north of there?
Yeah, this is George in Columbia. Again, we really do need some rain here. The lawns are starting to dry up and look tough. Gardens having to be watered a lot. So we need a nice slow soaker here. We were promised a few, but they did not materialize. So,
when was the last time you had rain, George?
Decent rain. Almost 3 weeks ago here now. I mean, we've had a few sprinkles that kind of spit in the rain gauge, but haven't really amounted to anything.
I'll see what I can do.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Anyone else in that part of the state or a little further north?
Patty, Stephen LaCrosse has joined. Some vegetable things going on. Lots of tree calls. Again, I think in discussions with Brian, some drought and some other issues that are going on. Some berry crops that are not looking real great right now, especially apples and also raspberries with spotted wing Drosophila. So that's what's happening
Wow.
over in LaCrosse.
Okay, so we've had our southeast, south central, and a little bit of our northwest. Is there anyone else up in that northern or northwestern area that would like to report?
Yeah, this is Kevin and Spooner.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. It's been just an average amount of calls coming in, a little bit of everything, weed ID, still some insects, some disease, corn rootworm and corn earworm. In our egg fields, we've got spotty army worm showing up, so that's happening as well. As far as weather, we have been getting a little bit of popcorn showers moving through. Some places got halfway decent rain, others didn't. So from that standpoint, we're hanging on there as far as soil moisture, but it's still dry. Our lawns aren't quite dormant, so they're starting to green a little bit. Other than that, spotted wing Drosophila, I've heard reports, but here at the research station, we have not yet seen it, which is a good thing, but maybe we're a little island here. I don't know, but I know it's out there. We're keeping an eye.
Do you have raspberries?
Yes, we do, in our high tunnel, and that's where we would expect to find them. And so far, we haven't, but we had a spider mite outbreak earlier in the season that was just devastating. Our raspberry, so we had to go in there and spray and I'm thinking maybe that might have set back some of the spotted wing if they were there. So, anyway, otherwise, you know, we're hanging in there. Nothing really unusual happening. It's cool.
Okay.
We need more heat.
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else from the central or the northern part of the state that would like to report?
This is Sophie from Portage.
Yes.
Weather-wise, we're pretty dry. We've had some rain, but we're still dry. We've had extremely heavy winds. We have a lot of trees down in different locations. We've seen a lot of powdery mildew and anthracnose on currant and on turf, suspected oak wilt and squash frog. And that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Sophie. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've worked our way around back up to the northeast part of the state.
I was going to chime in with my Florence County hat on first anyway and say I'm from Northern District. But anyway, actually, that's right. There is no Northern District anymore, whatever they're called nowadays. But this is Scott. We've had the normal realm of just about anything and everything. So the only noteworthy things, we did have a storm front go through. It hit my place precisely at midnight, the Monday night, I guess it was. And that helped us quite a bit from a rainfall standpoint because most of the area did get a little over an inch of rain, which was desperately needed in many of the spots. But it also really knocked down a lot of our aphids and such like that because we had been seeing pretty intense aphid populations prior to that and the other rain event that we had had about a week and a half prior to that. So that has helped us out with quite a few things. We're still seeing a lot of miscellaneous stuff and the one thing that is still showing up more so than normal is stalk and root issues on cucurbit crops that we don't normally see in our sandier soils. And the only thing I can attribute it to is the combination of growing conditions that we had and just things were there and things just happened at the right times and such. As Kevin mentioned, we're not accumulating loads of growing degree days, but moving along well enough that I don't think we're going to be in serious jeopardy in any major crops.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
So this is Vijay from Brown County. Last Tuesday night, we had a storm passing through Brown County and also through Appleton area, too. We had many trees uprooted, actually. Many homeowners also complained about the branches being teared apart. In suburban areas, some of the poles have been lost, actually, for about 24 to 44 hours. Besides that, we also had a late blight infection in one of the neighborhood communities. She lost about 31 tomato plants and 6 potato plants to the late blight. The strain is US-23. This morning I also got a sample from one of the neighbors actually in the community. She also have a late blight incident too. And she lost about 6 tomato plants to that. Besides that, the Japanese beetle population is winding down and we have some few plant ID type of questions. That's pretty much about it.
Okay, thanks, CJ.
This is Jill from Outagamie, and the storm that came through Tuesday night, or I guess Wednesday morning about 12:30, there's still some people out of power in the Appleton area in the east side. A lot of trees down. People couldn't even get out of their driveways, I guess. And it's just been not called a tornado, but it's some, like, winds that are up over 3 digits, I guess. We've had a lot of raspberry borers, peach leaf curl, some questions like how do you get rid of poison sumac, and as far as I can tell, one of the most important things is very carefully. And then I got a question about removing suction cups from a vine that was on a house off a wood plywood siding. And he said they actually look like suction cups, and I could not figure out what, couldn't identify it, and if anybody's heard of anything like that, please feel free to let me know. And other than that, the usual things that everybody else has been talking about.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who has chimed in and has not had an opportunity to report yet.
Mike Rankin's here.
Morning, Mike.
We got rain Monday night, but we were lucky. We got about an inch to 2 inches without the major storm damage, so that was needed. A lot of EAB action in our area this past week, finding or confirmations in both Fond du Lac and Winnebago counties, and a number of other insect-type calls. Had some tar spot that came in this week, pretty bad. But the thing that's driving me most insane, and I'm not sure if other people have this issue or not. I know I've talked to several of you about it, but younger maple trees where the bark is just splitting and coming off on a side or multiple places for no apparent reason, twice anyway. And they're mowing the road dishes and scattering some really nice ripe wild parsnip seed around. So other than that, pretty typical week.
Well, that's pretty exciting though, Mike. I especially like the spread of the wild parsnip. That's good. Are there any other counties that would like to report at this time?
Is anybody else finding this bark splitting problem? I mean, I've had 4 calls about it already.
Wow. I don't know. I think that's something that I don't know if Laura is on or not. It seems like we've had this happen before. When you said it, it sounds familiar, but I haven't had any reports of it recently. You know, and we always have the new transplants and the frost cracking, or you know, the sun scald from the winter, and then the cracks show up in the spring when the bark tries to expand too fast, and it really can't because it is not pliable enough, and then you get those splits. But I wonder if it is related to the fact that we were under such a severe drought last year, and then this year in your area, I'm speaking for my area, but did you have a huge amount of rain early this spring?
Well, it was wet.
So it might have been, you know, too much water too fast, and the tissue just didn't handle it. But I would be happy to hear other people's potential explanations of why young maple trees. And are they newly transplanted, like within 2 or 3?
Oh, these would be, 6 to 10 inches in diameter, maybe.
Oh, those are pretty good-sized trees.
Yeah.
Wow. When you said young trees, I was thinking, you know, within
maybe 10 years old. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure, but I would speculate that it had something to do with, rapid water uptake and the fact that our environment has just been so stressful the last year in 2 entirely different directions. Because you get some strange physiological changes, you know, when you go through extended drought or too much water. But that's not really an explanation.
Mike, this is George in Portage here, Columbia County. I've seen a couple of those kinds of things too. Small young trees in spots around town here, but also even right at my own home. I had a tree, it's about a 2-inch caliper, been there for a couple of years, growing nicely, but this one, the problem started when I had a young buck that thought he should scratch his horns and rip up the south side of the tree a little bit last fall, and it really exacerbated and became a lot worse over this summer. Because it did grow a bunch in the spring, and the bark did not keep up with the rest of the tree. So we've had some of those issues around here, too.
Okay.
Patty and Mike, this is Vijay here. We had actually several issues of maple tree declining, especially on Norway maple. The mature Norway maples, the branch all of a sudden collapsed down in the middle of the summer. It all leafed out very well. and then we can see some of the branches, the lower to middle region of the branches collapsing down. And it happened so quickly, within a week or 2 week period, and Brian tested those samples and it turned out negative for verticillium wilt or any canker diseases. On young maple trees that we have seen in few homeowners' property, it collapsed, the entire tree collapsed down. There was no bark split or anything, so it's kind of mysterious to see actually why these trees kind of collapsed down. Initially, I had a suspicion maybe a herbicide in a drift, or maybe herbicide absorbed through the roots, but the homeowner said it's a typical lawn herbicide like Trimac or Vessels they applied. So something mysterious things happening up this year.
It wasn't girdling roots then?
Well, of course, all these young maple trees, you know, they all planted deeply, actually. So, you know, at this moment, you know, it's hard to pinpoint if it's really girdling root, because one of the classic symptoms of girdling root is that it declines the trees gradually, not all
right.
of a sudden in a collapsing down, you know, the trees leafed out perfectly well, and the entire tree collapsing down the young trees. So I don't know at this moment.
Okay. Well, I guess we don't really have a perfect answer for you, Mike. There's obviously a problem. Have you looked at any of these? Have you had photos, or have there been any issues with insects or oozing sap or any signs of disease?
Yeah, actually, I've had both photos and gone to look at some after about the third call. But and you can take the bark and just rip it right off, but that, you know, there's nothing underneath other than, you know, normal tree. But
when
Mike, like response to me, but
when Mike forwarded the photograph to me, my response was that that the tree had a lot of a stress issue, especially from last year's drought stress issue. Plus, it has a girdling root too. I think it might have made the bark vulnerable to winter injury. This past winter, we had a lot of freezing rain, and there was some ice formation in Green Bay area. I don't know what's happened up in Fond du Lac area. So that fluctuating winter temperature would have killed the bark, actually, and perhaps that might be one of the reasons why this tree declined. So that's my guess, based on what I've seen in the photograph that Mike forwarded to me.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind, Mike, and we can ask some of our other woody plant specialists and see if they have any knowledge of this. But I'm not sure. Are there any other county reports before we move on to the specialist reports? No? Okay, I know that Phil and Brian are both on. Are there any other specialists online? All right, then. Do you have a preference as to which of you starts first?
Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. As far as trends, getting some strawberry root weevil and a little bit of imported longhorn weevil being nuisances and migrating into people's houses. Still seeing quite a bit of bird mite activity. And this one gets to be kind of tough because so often I think we all deal with people who have imaginary insect problems. But bird mites will bite people and leave some pretty nasty welts. And because they're small, they're all often overlooked. And the main thing is to get rid of the bird nest. And the other thing is you have to tell people, do not go on the Internet and search birdmite.com because it is all kinds of bad information that has no scientific validity. Getting to the time of the year that spiders are becoming more numerous, and especially some of the orb weavers and the colorful, bigger ones get people's attention, but definitely nothing to worry about there. Also getting the time of the season, the wasp populations are becoming numerous enough to get some attention, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a bad yellow jacket year. It's been cool, it's been wet. I have not seen any at the garbage cans yet and would not expect that for a little while. And then I was sharing with the people at the Plant Health Field Day, Phil Brock had give me some information on Japanese beetle populations in his yard in Madison. In his comments, statistically, it was 1/30th what it was at our peak about 10 years ago and is still considerably below any population we have ever seen. and that's both an artifact of the drought and, of course, the long-standing populations and the normal decline we see. So any questions on anything?
So this is PJ here. Yesterday I received a grub sample. It's about an inch or so. And I looked at the rastral pattern, and I don't find a typical zipper-like hairs or V-shaped hairs that's related to this May-June beetle or Japanese beetle grub type. And I'm having a little suspicion it might be a mass chafer beetle. Have you heard about it, or do we have any more incidents about that beetle?
Well, you know, we had the case about 2 weeks ago. I got adult mass, European mass chafer, which was the first time we had a record of that in the state. But one would not fit. That's an annual grub. So if they're emerging as adults now, you wouldn't expect grubs. What gets tough with those scarabs is literally there are hundreds of species. And, yeah, without – if you want to send it down, I will take a look at the rastral pattern, and I have to pull the front lip off them, and I can probably give you an idea for sure who it is. But it's pretty subtle. And, you know, about half of those are just things you'd expect in decaying organic matter rather than being – root issue. So was this in turf?
This is just in a landscape, so,
yeah, so
not specific in turf.
What I would be inclined to believe is, as I said, it's just one of those species that would be in decaying bark mulch or, you know, leaf litter or whatnot, and not to be a problem. But said, if you got any concerns, just send it down.
Okay, Brian. Okay, Phil. Thanks.
Phil, yesterday at the Wisconsin Nurserymen's Association Field Day, Kristen and I had a nursery guy come by our booth and ask us about a problem with eastern white pine, and it didn't quite sound familiar to me, so I told him I would ask you about it. He said that he had some pines that were, and because he's a nursery grower, I'm assuming he knows that it's really a pine and not a spruce, that low on the trunk they were having a problem with pitch coming out of the pine. And he couldn't actually see an insect, but he was asking specifically about borers who would attack pine and attack fairly low on the trunk. Do you have any idea about what that might be? I told him to send you a sample.
Yeah, my first guess is that may be a reaction to red turpentine beetle. It's one of the bark beetles, but it's a bigger than the Ips beetle we see, and it's notorious for hitting low, and it's notorious for seeing pitch. They make these pitch tubes. So that would be my first guess, or at least the one I would look for. And again, it may just be a sign that the tree is fighting the fight and they're not getting established. But that's kind of classic a red turpentine beetle.
Okay, well, we did talk to him about, you know, stress and planting too closely and making sure they were well watered and having all that. And there's many different things that can go after pine, so that's good to know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for Phil? No? Okay. Well, then, Brian, do you have a report for us this morning?
Yeah, it's been kind of a mixed bag this week in the clinic, and I have to say a lot of oak wilt again. I think I confirmed somewhere in the order of 8 samples this week. I'm up to 21 for the year, so that particular disease is quite active. I've also been seeing a fair amount of different types of herbicide injury coming in. We had a catalpa where it had very, very distorted leaf growth and apparently was from a glyphosate application that had been made around the base of the plant, and I'm assuming some absorption either through the roots or through the bark. And Barb, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, had sent in a sample of a hickory tree, and it was one of two examples where we had a lot of brooming and branch swelling. The other sample had come from Dane County. We've been testing both of those samples for phytoplasmas. We have a little bit of a hint that there might be one in the Dane County sample, but nothing of that sort in the one that Barb had sent in. And we'd also gotten a follow-up from the actual grower from that particular tree in Kenosha County. What we did find out after the fact was that apparently 2 years ago there was an umprellis application that was made in an adjacent yard about 50 to 60 feet from the tree, and it's those trees closest to the lot line that are showing these symptoms. So I'm kind of interpreting that as probably an umprellis injury. And then we've also had some issues on grapes with what appear to be a growth regulator sort of herbicide injury, the typical kind of fan-shaped leaves
very fringed edges and very distinctive veins that we tend to get with that particular type of injury on grape. And then just a variety of other things, some virus issues, which has been kind of interesting. We had a blueberry sample come in actually from Brown County, VJ. When I looked at the branches, there were these very, very distinctive red rings, and there is a red ring spot virus, which basically produces those very, very distinctive symptoms. And then also we had a tomato sample that came in yesterday or earlier in the week, and just very, very bizarre symptoms. This is a sample. There had been some photos of fruits that had come through, I believe, on PlantDoc, and the fruits were quite distorted and actually had little bulges in the side. And the entire plant was showing very classic viral symptoms. In addition to those fruit symptoms, a lot of very distorted growth in the leaves, and the leaves were quite leathery. We ran the kind of common virus test that we can do in the clinic, and it came up as negative for the five that we normally test for. And the grower was not interested in sending it on for additional work at AgDia. Not unusual, given that the tomato panel out there costs about $450 to run. So late blight, of course, was big this week. A couple of samples that we finished up. And then a variety of your normal sorts of things that you would see on spruces, Rhizostera, Diplodia, those sorts of things. Any questions for me? Going once?
Yeah. Going once?
Going twice?
No, that's so unusual. I think we're all diseased out, Brian.
Yeah. I have to say I'm on mental break till my vacation towards the 1st of September, so.
Okay. Well, thank you for your report, Brian. I'm sure that people, as soon as we finish the conference, will think of questions they wish they had asked you. But we know how to get in touch with you. So at this part of the program, we'll move on to our special guest for the day, who is me. So I'm Patty Nagai, the horticulture educator in Racine County. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the People Plus Plants program that Addix and Christine Zabios and I have been working on, along with the entire horticulture team effort, for a couple of years now. And as many of you know, we were able to get some USDA dollars through our Hort Team Cole Grant program to try and put together some much-needed resource materials for communities and individuals who were interested in starting and maintaining community gardens across the state. Somewhere in the process, it got changed to People Plus Plants, which actually turned into a very nice logo designed by Susan over in the publications department. And, you know, I just want to say before we even begin this discussion that it has been a real pleasure working with everybody on this program. And I can't thank the publications unit enough, especially Christine and Erica, who have done so much, and Abby. Susan has done a fabulous job on the design of all this, but the editors that work at our publications unit have just been outstanding working with us. And working with educators is sometimes a challenge because we, of course, have many things on our plate. And trying to do publications and putting together these materials on top of all of our other county duties is sometimes a little overwhelming. And so it has required a tremendous amount of patience and persistence on everyone's part to get some of these materials put together. So thank you to everyone who's been involved in this program. It's been very rewarding. So what I want to talk about today, I want to mention all of the different resources that we currently have available and those that will be available early this fall and in print and ready to go. And then the other thing I would like to talk about is what we're going to do next year. And I've had some really nice response to an email I sent out a few weeks ago about doing a community garden workshop roadshow around the state. And so I would like to talk about that a little bit more. I believe that Brian sent out a link to a document that Mike Maddox had put together a month ago, I guess, is when we talked about this last. And he put together a list of some of the resources that we currently have in print and some of the things that we have planned for the grant. The grant does end at the end of this month, and we have made a tremendous amount of progress on it. What we are ending up with related to the community garden efforts across the state, we will have 12 publications available through the Learning Store on various aspects of community gardens. So bear with me, I'm going to read you these titles so that you have a general idea of what we have available. Community gardens, where people and plants come together. Starting a community garden. Soil contaminants in community gardens. Raised beds and containers for community gardens. Common crops for community gardens. Youth gardening. A year in the life of a community garden. Chemical-free community garden, which may have a title change before we're done at the end of the month. Common crops posters, and so these will be print materials that are available in the poster format. We'll have Spanish version of at least one of these publications, and it probably will be the common crops one. Harvesting vegetables safely. Handling and storing vegetables safely. So in addition to the print materials, we have two videos that are already online on the People Plus Plants website, and that is on the UW Extension FYI site. And we have in process five more short videos that will help explain how to do specific things in the garden and things to look for in a community garden. So, for example, there is one on powdery mildew, one on Japanese beetle, you know, those types of things, but also how to get water, the difference between cool season and warm season plants, and those sorts of things. So when I sent out the email a couple of weeks ago, I specifically asked for educators in counties around the state who would be interested in hosting and working with us on presenting a half day or a day long workshop on community gardens to help the people in their communities, you know, make good decisions about starting a community garden, maintaining a good community garden, educating people on proper techniques on growing various crops and things like that. And I had some really interesting responses, and quite a few, so I think that we have enough potential hosts around the state to do this, but we also are perfectly willing to welcome more. We're thinking in many cases this could be a multi-county effort where we would have, you know, maybe one or two educators working together at a site that could be accessible, you know, from several different county areas. We would probably want a minimum of 25 to 30 participants, but in some cases could handle up to 100 participants at a site. And we are still looking at specific topics for this workshop, and I'm looking for ideas on what sort of things you think would attract, you know, the most participants and be the most helpful for your community and the people that you work with in the community garden arena. But one thing that has come up more than once that I think is very interesting, and I wanted to address it right away, is that there still seems to be a little bit of a misperception about what the words community gardens mean. And if you were to read the very first publication in the series, you would realize that community garden means a lot of different things to different people. And we are using that term in the broadest of sense because we want to encompass all of the different types of community gardens that we find around the state so that this can be, you know, this information can be used as broadly as possible. So in general, we are
we are talking about growing vegetables, but not necessarily. There are many community gardens that are used for therapeutic purposes that might be sensory gardens. They might be fragrant gardens with various types of flowers. They might be youth-related gardens, either at a community center, a school, or a church. They might be a church garden where all of the produce is donated to a pantry. A community garden can be what many of you think of as just the traditional rental plot garden, where there is an entity that organizes and handles all of the logistical and financial aspects of running that area, and then the garden plots are rented out and maintained by individuals or families or even small farms in some cases. But those are rental plot gardens where the produce is essentially being produced for the person who's gardening. There are also different types of pantry gardens, and we have two large ones in Racine County that are run by UW Extension and various community partners through the Master Gardeners, and all of the produce is donated to the food bank. So all of those types of gardens fall into the category of community gardens. So when we are planning a workshop with this broad title of community gardens, it really can encompass a lot of different topics and a lot of different types of gardeners in your area. So the people that I heard back from include Bill Hoffman up in Monroe County, and he was very enthusiastic about being a community a sponsor for this particular set of workshops. He's most interested in school-type gardens because he said the farm-to-school program is quite big in his county and the neighboring counties. So, we're working with Bill to have a workshop site up in that part of the state. Barb Larson down in Kenosha is very interested in hosting one of the workshops, but on the east side of Kenosha. So she's looking at the city side, the urban side, closer to the lake. Chrissy Wynn also contacted me about co-hosting a program in Walworth County. So she and I are considering hosting a program in Burlington, which could meet several counties in our area. And it's far enough away from Kenosha that we would get a very different group of people. So Burlington is located in the southwest corner of Racine County and crosses over into both Walworth and Kenosha counties. But it's not that far from, a section of Waukesha County as well, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, Patty, let me know if you want to incorporate Waukesha on that one to pull it a little further west maybe.
Well, Ann also expressed an interest in doing one in Waukesha County, so we could put a map of Wisconsin up and just kind of pinpoint areas and see where would be the best location. Because, when we do grounds maintenance, we do one in Kenosha and one up at Retzer Nature Center in Waukesha, and we get big crowds at both of those locations. And it's mileage-wise, they're not that far apart, but because our population is so big in this part of the state, I think that there's the potential to pull from very different areas. But, yeah, the Burlington site is not firm. These are just the potential sites that we've discussed so far. But Ann did express an interest in doing one in Waukesha, and I don't know if she was intending it to be at your facility in Waukesha or if she was thinking more along the lines of one of her community partners or Retzer Nature Center as a hosting site, which would be, a different area. And then Jane Anquim from Douglas County and one of her master gardeners, Dan Pickle, responded. They also are very interested in school garden type community gardens, but they also specifically mentioned church gardens and housing authority gardens, which I think you have those in Waukesha County as well, don't you?
Kristen?
Yeah, somewhat.
Is that what Ann works with?
Well, everything's such a kind of you know, when you throw community gardens in there, there's so many different ways for that to happen. So a lot of them do happen with some of the lower income neighborhoods or housing complexes.
Right, and those are community gardens as well. And I would venture to say that within any type of community garden, you will have both organizers and individuals who are gardening who are in need of more gardening education. You know, they may have some very specific needs. You know, they may be only interested in growing one specific crop, or perhaps they want to venture out and explore some different types of things, but they don't know how. Maybe they're concerned about safety, food safety, the condition of the soil. There are so many different directions that we could take this, which is why I'm really relying on the educators around the state who are supporting community gardens to help us select and narrow down these topics, because we realize we can't do everything. You know, that would be probably a 2-year-long course to cover everything that everybody's interested in. But we need to narrow it down and get the logistics together. My goal is to have the sites selected and to have the topics determined by the ANRE meeting in October, and perhaps for those of you who will be attending, we could have a short meeting at that time and maybe put the final touches on it so that we all are on the same page and are able to get our speakers together to do this roadshow. Kevin Chesow also responded, and he mentioned multiple counties that he would like to be the host for, but I think the location is real critical for the, you know, for the actual workshop in order to get the most people. So I guess what I need at this point is for educators to kind of do some little informal surveys among their community partners and the people they know who are doing community gardens to find out, you know, if there is enough interest in hosting a workshop in that area, you know, if you can pull enough people in to make it worth your time to set up a facility and to provide what we will need for the day to host the workshop, and then to get some good topic ideas so that we really are addressing what the needs are of those people who are out in our world doing community gardens. That's really all I have for you today. Are there any questions, comments, suggestions?
Hey, Patty. I would love to be a part of this. I don't think I have the information from before, so I will email
you. Are you not on the Hort Team email list?
I am, but it sounds like you sent out email before I was on it.
So. Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm still very new to all this. So I'll just send you an email, but I would love to kind of be a part of that and host a workshop if it works out.
Excellent. Do you think it would just be your county, or do you have, I know you're new, but do you have like little feelers into the surrounding areas as well?
I have no idea what's going on in Greene County and anything west of me, but if Chrissy was interested in doing something jointly, we could potentially do something together with Rock and Walworth. She is a much stronger master gardener.
Okay.
Well, I think right now, but then there's a lot of stuff happening in Beloit, which is on the state line. So there's some stuff going on that I'm learning about.
Okay.
What about
good.
Dane? Was Dane interested? I mean, if you could pull from Dane, that'd be big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dane did not respond. No one from Dane County responded. Well, I should say, you know, Mike is in a different role, but Mike is participating as a speaker and, of course, as an organizer in these conferences. But no one from the Dane County office responded, so I don't know if they're interested in this or not, but that would...
You might want to try Carrie Edgar, because she does a lot of, like, community food system stuff. She might be tapped into that audience.
And I don't know who's currently on the Hort Team list, and that's the only... That I only sent it to the Hort Team list. I could, of course, send it to the
to the county list or to the, you know, the county department head list or any of those. I mean, there are many ways I could send this out. And I realize that there might be people who are not in active in the Hort team or on that email list who might be working with community gardens, but I'm a little sensitive to, you know, sending out everything to everybody because we get so many emails every day. But feel free to talk amongst other educators in your offices or in neighboring offices. And if you want me to send out a little bit of detail about what we're planning to the entire world, I can do that if you think it would be worthwhile and enough people are out there who may not have gotten it from the Hort team list. What does everybody think about that?
I think you might have nutrition and family living and 4-H people that may also be connected to community gardens that might be interested in hosting. I think it's worth sending it to the
everybody
county
list?
I do. So I mean, just put that little disclaimer, if you don't work with community gardens, delete now.
Okay. Okay. That's probably a good idea because you're right. I know that in other counties there may be people working with community gardens that don't have a Hort team presence. That's true. Very true. Does anyone...
Yeah, get out of your silo, Patty.
What?
You got to get out of your silo, Patty.
I know. I'm nature of being at the moment. Are there any other comments or topic suggestions, or is it something you just want to think about for a while and get back to me? No? Any general ideas about the direction of community gardens in Wisconsin? Any broad statements anybody would like to make? Okay. Well, I'm good with that. If anyone comes up with something later or they have specific questions, topic ideas, please email those to me. We've got a little bit of time to put all of this together, but it would be nice to have some prep time to put the presentations and the other materials together to answer those questions as best as we can for your community members. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, Patty.
Welcome. So now we're down to the question and answer period. Are there any general questions that people have about anything that they have not had an opportunity to ask up until now? Nope. Are there any announcements?
Actually, the West Madison Hort Field Day is a week from Saturday. That's the 17th of August. It runs from 10 to 2. Anyone's interested in coming and participating?
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Spooner Ag Research Station is having their Twilight Garden Tour on the 20th, so that's not too far off. Aaron Silva is coming up, and Brian Smith from River Falls. And then we got an NRCS soil specialist talking about soil quality, plus music this year.
I wish you weren't so far away. That sounds great. Any other announcements? Okay, well, hearing none, thank you, everybody, for participating today. It's always a pleasure to talk to people and find out all of the things that are going on in the other part of the state. Next week, we have Mike Rankin from Fond du Lac County hosting and Brian Smith from River Falls, who will be doing the fruit update. Thanks, everybody.